Shalom, this is Pastor Sam from Northern California with Parshat Perusal, and it's great to be with you today. Today we're going to be looking at Vayishlach, that's found in Genesis 32:3 through 36:43. We're just going to be looking at a short part of that, but before we look at that today, before we look at this portion today, let's go ahead and pray. Avinu, Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we are so grateful and thankful to you. You are so good to us. You understand our needs and you meet our needs exactly at the right time. And Lord, we are grateful for that. Lord, we pray as we look at this passage of scripture today that you will give us understanding of your word by your Holy Spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh, we pray in Yeshua's name, amen. So what we're going to be looking at today is just a small section of this Torah portion, Genesis 32, and we're going to look at 9 through 32. And we won't necessarily read all of that, but I'll give you some of the background of what's happening here. So Jacob has come to a place where God has blessed him. He has been listening to the leading of the Lord in his life. But now he has been blessed with wives and livestock and children, and you know, God has just caused his whole life to just really expand in blessing. But he has this issue. He still has this problem with his brother Esau that happened obviously back when they were both younger, and Esau feels like Jacob took away his birthright, which basically he did, and also feels like Jacob has, not only taken the birthright, but also the blessing. And Esau has been very angry with Jacob and basically said that he would kill him if he saw him. And so now this is years later, God has blessed Jacob, God has blessed Esau, and Jacob is told by some of his servants, Esau is coming, he's coming towards you, there's no way to avoid him. And he's got 400 men with him. And so Jacob immediately assumes that Esau is coming to kill him, which, you know, that's a pretty good assumption because it's kind of something Esau said he was going to do when he had the chance. So this is very interesting because we have this situation where Jacob is coming up against a problem, a very big problem in his life, where the very thing that he has been so dreading for so many years is getting ready to happen, and that's confronting his brother, and or his brother confronting him, however you want to look at that. And so this is very scary for Jacob, because now God has blessed him with all of these things. He has a lot to lose. I mean, not saying that he didn't have, you know, your life is a lot to lose back then, but now, if Jacob loses his life, it's going to affect all of his family, all of his children, both of his wives. People that he loves are going to get hurt by this situation. And so I think that really plays into this too, as Jacob is feeling cornered. He's feeling desperate here. And so let's see what he says. And so Jacob does the right thing. He turns to God. And in Genesis 32:9, Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. I just crossed over with my staff before, and now there's two groups of people that you have blessed me with. But he goes on and he says, deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. In other words, I'm not just fearing for myself anymore. My wives and their children are also potentially going to be attacked. And then he reminds God of something God promised him. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And so we see Jacob gives us this heart cry out to God, a cry of desperation, really. And he says, remember, God, what you said. I mean, my brother's coming after me and he's probably going to kill me and he's probably going to wipe out my whole, you know, family. But remember, God, what you promised. And really, this is more about Jacob being able to take comfort in what God promised, because God obviously doesn't forget. But Jacob is still, this relationship with God is still building for him. It's still a new thing. You know, he sees God as the God of his father Abraham and his father Isaac. Notice he doesn't necessarily say, Oh Lord, my God. He says, oh Lord, God of my father and God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. You know, he hasn't quite embraced this God completely for himself. But that's all going to change very quickly here. So he's very fearful. He's very afraid. And he turns to God, which is the right thing to do. And then it says that he sends these presents ahead of him to Esau. And so he sends his servant out with a bunch of, you know, male and female goats. It says here, 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 camels with their colts, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys, and 10 foals. And he delivered them to the hand of his servant, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, pass over before me and put some distance between each of these successive droves. So he's like, keep sending them to Esau. These will be these presents. And put some distance between each one, because you don't know what's going to happen. I don't want you guys to lose your life unnecessarily. So he's sending these presents to Esau. You can just imagine Esau. You know, what is that up ahead? Looks like it's about 200 female goats. What? You know, what that must have been like, you know, 200 female goats, you know, and 20 male goats coming next. And or maybe they came together. Then 200 ewes and 20 rams. I mean, this is a lot of livestock that's being sent his way as a gift. This gift is for Esau, you know. Wow, thank you. Somebody wanted me to have 200 goats. I could use 200 goats. We could probably use 200 goats around here. Up here in our area, there's a guy who goes around, and actually you can hire 100 to 200, sometimes even more, goats to clear off your land. And so that way you don't have to clear it off, you know, with all the hard work and stuff, because the goats will go in there and they'll eat everything. Anything they can reach, they will eat. Well, anyways, so Jacob is sending these presents to his brother Esau, but he's very, very fearful. And so he sends his wives and his children across the brook, but he's left alone on the other side. And so it says, then Jacob was left alone in verse 24. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, and the man said to Jacob, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I love this story. This is probably one of my favorite stories in the Bible, just because I really do relate to Jacob. I think a lot of us can relate to Jacob. Jacob had his ups and downs. Jacob doubted. Jacob struggled all the time with all sorts of stuff. And yet God loved Jacob. He loved Jacob. And this is one of the reasons why. And so Jacob's left alone, but this man is wrestling with him. And there's no reason here why we should think it's anything other than an actual physical encounter with a man wrestling with him. In fact, it's very specific that that's what it is. And they wrestle all night long. And then when the man who's wrestling with Jacob sees that he is not going to prevail against him, he touches the socket of his hip. and the socket of Jacob's hip was put out of joint. Now, I'll tell you what, I've had an arm out of joint, and that was about, well, until I went to the emergency room and they put it back in the right place. It was about 5 to 6 hours of intense pain, and I couldn't even move it. So I can't even imagine what this must be like to have a whole leg out of joint, like completely out of joint. And the amount of power to do that to somebody's leg, that is incredible strength right there. To rip somebody's leg out of joint. We're not talking a weak individual here. We're talking, somebody really, really strong. And it's amazing to me how strong Jacob was physically to be able to wrestle with this man as long as he did, throughout the whole night. And so we see he touches the socket, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint. Now, all he did was touch it, by the way. That's kind of interesting there. And then the man says, "Let me go, for the day breaks." And Jacob says, "But I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to Jacob, the man says to Jacob, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Israel, for you have struggled with God and with man and with men and have prevailed." Oh, wow. Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. He doesn't tell him his name. I find this just like absolutely awesome story here. But, you know, the name, the man says to Jacob, he already knows his name because, you know, we know now who this was, but he says, "What is your name?" And he says, "Jacob." And he says, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob." Why? "But Israel, because you have struggled with God and men and have prevailed." Now talk about a confidence builder here. And that's really part of what this is about here. It's Jacob is scared to death about his brother. He's worried about all sorts of stuff. He's worried that the promises that he believed and trusted, which has brought him to this point, are not really going to happen because his brother's going to end up killing him. And so he wrestles with this man all night. And the man says, "You've wrestled against God. You have struggled with God and man, and you have prevailed." It says, "You have struggled with God and men, and you have prevailed." And I look at this and I go, wow. I mean, first of all, that God would even do this. But secondly, this is such a, as I said earlier, a confidence builder for Jacob. Because what God is saying here, in a way, is, why are you worried about your brother? You just wrestled with me all night, and you won. You won. You've prevailed. Now, he didn't win the fight necessarily, but he got the blessing. That's the point. Jacob says, "I'm not going to let go until you bless me." And so God is saying, "You struggled. You even struggled with me and you won, Jacob. I think you can handle your brother. Your brother's not that big of a deal compared to God." And notice Jacob gets the point. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved." So Jacob doesn't get haughty about this. He doesn't get prideful. He realizes that at any point that man could have killed him, not just ripped his leg out of his socket. But I don't even know how this guy is walking around. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's face down on the ground at this point with this. Because how are you going to walk around when your joint is out of socket? I don't know. Jacob was a massive, just an incredible man in so many different ways, but he was a man's man. I mean, he was not a weak man. You don't necessarily, I mean, if you see pictures of Jacob, I'm sure there's paintings of Jacob. You definitely could not paint Jacob as one of those effeminate kind of looking men, because he wasn't. He was a man's man. He was strong. He could wrestle with this man all night to begin with. And this man was somebody who could rip his his leg out of socket. So we're talking somebody here who had incredible, Jacob was a man who had incredible strength, and yet he's humble. He says, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. You better believe it, he limped because he couldn't walk, you know. "Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank." And so one of the aspects of keeping kosher is you don't eat this muscle in whatever animal that has been prepared. You do not eat the hip socket. That's truly kosher. Biblically, they do not eat that part. But back to the whole point, you and I are faced many times with things that are seemingly insurmountable. They are beyond our ability. They are nothing. We can't handle them. There's things in our life that we are very afraid of having to do. People maybe that we have to confront, or that we're afraid that will confront us. You know, usually because we mess stuff up. I mean, this was true in Jacob's life too. You know, he had caused, in many ways, he had caused this division with his brother. His attitude, his way of going about fulfilling, you know, God's plan, you know, he had caused this division. So it was something that he was very worried about. And yet Jacob did the right thing with it. He gave it to God. He trusted God in this situation. And God gives Jacob exactly the kind of strength that he needs to talk to his brother. And Jacob receives it in humility. And we see now what in the next chapter, which we're not going to read today, but Jacob, when he comes before his brother, he comes humbly, he comes with the right attitude, but he doesn't have fear anymore because he just wrestled with God. So, you know, he knows now he doesn't need to fear his brother. You know, it's so neat how God does that. He knows our needs. He knows our heart. And God here says multiple things here. He says, you know, by doing this, he says that he has Jacob's back. He is on Jacob's side. Jacob does not have to fear. He will keep all of the promises. God is saying to Jacob, "I will keep all these promises. And you don't need to fear your brother. You don't need to fear anything else in your life except me. God is the only one we are to fear." And Jacob goes away from this encounter with the fear of God. And also there's something else that happens with this encounter. God is no longer just the God of Abraham, his father Abraham, and his father Isaac. God is now Jacob's God, the God, the Lord God of Jacob. The Lord God of Jacob. We hear that over and over in Scripture. The Lord God of Jacob. And that's what we need to search our hearts. Is God, is he our God? Or is he just the God of our parents, or the God of our family, or somebody else's God? Is he our God? You know, one of the things we see with Saul, King Saul, is he was always saying to Samuel, "Your God. Your God, your God," because it wasn't really Saul's God. God didn't see it. Saul did not have that kind of relationship with God. David, on the other hand, did. David was a man after God's own heart. David claimed God as his own. Jacob, at this point, claims God as his God. And that is so important in our lives, that we recognize and understand that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our God as well. You know, he's my God. He's Samuel's God, not Samuel the prophet, but Samuel, my God. He's my God, Shmuel's God. And I hope right now, and I pray right now, that you will truly make the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you will understand that he is your God. And the only way for him to truly be our God, since the Messiah has been revealed, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah, since Jesus has been revealed. And by the way, that's who Jacob was wrestling with here. It was Jesus. No one has seen God the Father at any time, but the Son, he has revealed him. And we even see that in the way that this man reacts when Jacob asks him, what is your name? And he's like, why do you need to know my name? And we see that later on, Yeshua says that something very similar, you know, when they ask him, well, who are you? You know, why do you need to know who I am? Can't you see by my works? You know, and he actually asks the disciples and his followers, who do men say that I am at one point? And they come up with these different things. That's because this is the Son before he became Jesus, before he actually became one of us. This is the Son who is revealing the Father here to Jacob. But back to what I was saying. So Jacob understands now that God is his God. Today, you and I can have the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as our God. There's only one thing we have to do, and Yeshua says this, believe on the one whom he, the Father, has sent. If we believe on the Son, we become children of God. God becomes our God and our Father. And all it takes to believe on the Son, it says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. That's all it takes. It's very simple to believe and trust in the Son, to believe and trust in the Messiah, Mashiach, Yeshua. And then guess what? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob becomes our God. We become his children, and his Spirit comes to dwell within us. Isn't that awesome? If you have never done that, do that today. Pray right now and ask Yeshua to be your Lord, to be your Savior. Trust in the work that he did in dying for your sin and mine. He died for all of our sin. He took it upon himself. He took the curse upon himself. Trust in the work of Yeshua right now. All you have to do is believe and trust in the work of Yeshua. And it says you are saved. Saved, what does that mean? We are saved from ourselves. We are saved from our sin. We are saved from eternal separation of God. And we are saved every single day, because once you trust in the Lord, you have the Holy Spirit with you all the time. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob becomes your God. And in life, you are saved in every situation, just like God delivered Jacob there. And by the way, God didn't go smite Esau. He just gave Jacob the courage and the strength to face Esau and to face him without fear. And that's what God does for you and me, can do for you and me all the time, and does do for us if we're willing to let him do that. So trust in the work of Messiah Yeshua today, and you will be saved. And your life will change in every area. And it may not change overnight and everything, but as God is ready to work in our lives, he changes us and he conforms us into the image of his son. And that is how we were originally supposed to be from the very beginning, because we were created in God's image. Well, thank you for joining me today. Hope you enjoyed Parsha Perusal. Have a tremendous day. I'm hoping that you have a blessed Hanukkah. Maybe the next one we'll actually talk about Hanukkah. It'll be a bit of a break from the Torah schedule, but we'll talk about Hanukkah. And also, please have a blessed Christmas, which is a celebration, whether we know which day Yeshua was actually born, but it is a celebration of the birth of the Messiah. And that's how we need to look at it, instead of getting all hung up and worried about calendars and dates and times. And if any of you, you know, please don't tell me about all that stuff. I've heard most of it. I've been in the Messianic movement for over 30 years. You know what? We need to celebrate the birth of the Messiah. And if billions of people are celebrating it on December 25th, I'm excited about that. You can celebrate it in the fall. You can celebrate it in the spring. You can celebrate it on December 25th. It's okay. The biggest thing is we need to celebrate the birth of the Messiah, because it is something to celebrate that God left his place. Jesus left his place. Yeshua left his place of authority and glory with the Father and became one of us for the whole purpose to restore our relationship back with the Father. And what an awesome story that is. Well, you have a great day, and just shalom. And let's go ahead and close with the Aaronic blessing. Yevarech ha-ka Adonai v'yishmarecha, ye'er Adonai panav elecha v'huneecha, yisa Adonai panav elecha, v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach Sar HaShalom. In the name of Yeshua our Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen. And you have a great rest of your day and have a great Shabbat. And may the Lord be with you. Amen.